Okay, let's get started. I know some people may be a few minutes late because of the room change, but I hope you like this room better.
Yeah.
I like it better with bigger boards. You know how many boards I can fill in a day. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Where's the eraser? Maybe they just have the towel, I don't know. Okay. So, last time, we were talking about vectors mostly as arrows. And today, we're going to focus more on the representation where they're lists of two or three numbers, so we can do computations more efficiently. Are there any questions that anyone has regarding yesterday's class?
That ABC representation that you wrote yesterday?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, that is referring to the 3D set of vectors, no?
Yes. Yes. So in 2D, right, you can have some vector, and you would only need two numbers.
Yeah.
Now, in 3D, this you could think of this as being a 3D vector with no z coordinates, right? And you could also have an honest to goodness 3D vector. It's going to be a little harder to draw. Let me tell you a little bit about how you might draw something like this. Well, you have to kind of squash things down. So this is a kind of, think of the Z is pointing truly up, and the X and Y is kind of pointing that way. So X is kind of towards that side of the room, and Y is towards that side of the room. So somewhat out towards you. X is to your right, Y is to your left. This is a right-handed coordinate system, because if I point my hand at X and then turn my fingers towards Y, then my thumb indeed points up where Z is. That's not important yet, but that'll matter more in the future. Okay, so how could I try and sketch this vector V? Let's say that A, B, and C are positive numbers to keep things easy. Okay, maybe they're like this. Okay, so start with just the AI part. Right there. Maybe I should get some color on this. And now you want the BJ part, right? But what we actually want is a copy of it over here. So take that arrow and make a copy of it. It needs to be same direction, same length, right? So here's our copy. So we're literally adding the vectors, the three parts of the vector here. And then finally, we add the C part, right? And that's one representation of the CK part, the Z part, if you like. But we're going to pick a copy of that arrow, which will represent the same vector, and it's going to go here, which will crash into my earlier label, but that's okay. All right. Okay, so take this same length, same direction, bring it down here, something like that. Okay. And finally, so remember how vector addition works, add, add, add. So So we just follow the path, and so we started here, and so we go out there. And so V would look like that. That's a way to suggest what it's like in 3D.
Right? Inevitably with, you know, there's infinitely many 3D vectors that would all look the same according to this projection, but by drawing the parts, it gives you a good idea of which 3D vector it is. So if you include the actual parts and not just the final result, then even this projection unambiguously says exactly what V is. So the key there is just to make judicious copies of each of the parts. So you can represent them. Now,
remember there was vector addition, and in terms of arrows, you have something like this, right? Maybe you have, maybe P goes here, and then Q goes here. So your P plus Q is the result of going from here to here to here. Now, let's say we break these up into components. How about we call them X component, Y component, and Z component, right? Use those subscripts. Okay. Now if we add these, you can use the distributive property to collect like terms. Right? So when I add these two together, I can collect the I terms together. Collect the J terms together, and I can collect the K terms together. So if you know the components, vector addition is very easy. You just add the components respectively, right? Add each pair of corresponding components. Very easy. Add the X components, add the Y components, add the Z components. Piece of cake. You can also use the distributive property to do scalar multiplication, right? Maybe I multiply Q there by let's say I multiply by P. Maybe I multiply P by about a third, so that it becomes shorter like that. Okay. Well, again, with the distributive property, if you know the components, the scalar multiplication is super easy. Okay. You just multiply each component by that scalar multiple, it's called, just the number you're multiplying it by. Okay. So computationally, if you have components, the stuff we did yesterday is really easy. All right. We're going to do lengths and angles now. Slightly more difficult, but not that bad if you have components, okay? Oh, you know what? I've got power. Yes. I've got to learn the switches.
Hey.
Yeah, but how do I bring the back one down?
Maybe it's just the one. Or you grab the two.
I think there's something wrong with the motor because it's making some angry sound. the back one should be coming down, but it's not. So I think I've got to do the back one manually. Yeah, it's stuck pretty hard. There's always something.
Yeah. 2 steps forward, 1 step back with these brooms.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna have to get somebody to fix this thing. All right, you're engineering majors, some of you, yeah? All right. Well, okay. Well, I'm not sure what I can do about that. Okay. Let's go back to this 3D diagram here. I want to talk about lines. All right. Okay. So the idea is use the Pythagorean theorem twice if you need to get a 3D line. All right. Okay, so the first vector has length, absolute value of a, right? Which, if you like, you can write as the square root of a squared. Same thing. Okay? If a was a negative number, right, then this would still be the correct length measurement. Right? In case, you know, the arrowhead was there or something. Right? Now, this one here, of course, has length the magnitude, the absolute value of b, which is the same as the square root of b squared. Okay. Now, if you want to, say we want to add them, maybe we just had a 2D vector, and so the blue and the green was all we had. Okay. So there's a right angle. We know the Pythagorean theorem. Okay. So it's two legs of a triangle, the hypotenuse. So let's put it here. That will just be the square root of a squared plus b squared. And then finally there was another right angle, right? Because remember, these are in the xy plane, and this is going up in the z direction. So they may not look like right angles, but that's just because of the 3D projection. Imagine it in 3D, right? Going this way, then I turn left, go that way, and I turn up and go that way. Is it? Yeah. From my point of view, I turn up. That's from your point of view, I turn right. Okay. So now we take this thing, okay, and we need to square it, add it to the square of that thing, right, the red thing. Okay. So square of this plus square of that will be the length of the whole thing. Okay, so when you square these two terms, square root of a squared plus b squared and square root of c squared, you just get a plus b squared and c squared. Okay? And then Pythagorean theorem, we have to take the square root of that sum. So we get a kind of 3D version of the Pythagorean theorem. Now, there's a notation. To express this idea of the magnitude of a vector, we just have a symbol for it. Right? So we would call this magnitude of u. We just put bars around it, like we do for absolute values of real numbers. You can think of this as the magnitude of a real number, because a real number is like a one-dimensional vector. It's either in the positive direction or the negative direction. It has a magnitude. Right? You can think of it as an arrow from zero. And then this, we would call the magnitude of our truly 3D vector V. Okay. Now, okay. There's another thing you might be interested in. Now, okay, you know how to figure out lengths given components. What about angles, right? I could give you two vectors, and I might want to know the angle between them, okay? So, angles between vectors. Okay? First of all, you always pick the angle that's in the interval from 0 degrees to 180 degrees, okay? Which in radians is from 0 to pi. Okay? So that's the angle. It is not the angle that's bigger than 180 degrees. You can always pick an angle less than or equal to 180 degrees and positive.
Right.
when you draw two arrows starting at the same place, okay? That's the other caveat here is. The arrows start at the same place. So if you have two vectors, you use arrow representatives that have a common starting point to define the angle. That's how it works for arrows. So another thing it's not is, so this will be a mistake, right? Somebody did this. Here's a P. And then maybe they drew the arrow Q this way. Okay. It's not that. Okay? That's wrong because these arrows are starting at different places. Okay? Be careful about that kind of thing. Now, you can see that here the angle is bigger than 90 degrees. So an angle bigger than 90 degrees corresponds to when the vectors are kind of, you think of it as they're opposing each other, right? You go to the right, but then this undoes some of your progress. If the angle is smaller than 90 degrees, then if you went to the right and then you followed the Q, you would go somewhat further to the right. Okay. So let's talk about that pattern here. Okay.
Why wasn't the bottom right angle correct?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Because they're on the same starting point.
By definition, you have to pick representative arrows that have a common starting point. That's how you determine the angle. That's how we define the angle between the vectors. Okay? These have different starting points. Okay? P starts here, Q starts here. Okay? Right? The fix for this is to take a copy of Q and put it over here, right? See, if you measure this angle, you'll get maybe, I don't know, 30 degrees. What you should get is 150 degrees, like over here. That's the difference.
We only draw them like that if we're adding them, right? The way you put not.
You can draw them in many ways, but yes, this is the way to draw them for addition. Yeah. Yeah, so there's the addition picture, right? You go from head to tail to head of the next one, the twist tail, right? But here, this is different. So let me say a little bit more about angles. Okay, so consider the possibility where see the angle put this way. Okay, so log cosines. Okay. This is from trig. Anybody remember the log cosines? There's a law of sines, which is a little easier to remember, but I'm thinking the law of cosines. Okay. That's not a right angle. Okay. So the law of cosines generalizes the Pythagorean theorem. Yeah, Pythagorean theorem says you have a right triangle, you have leg A and leg B and hypotenuse C. A squared plus B squared is C squared. That's not quite right if it's not a right angle, right? So you have to fix it. What's the correction? The correction is this. You have to add a minus 2ab cosine theta. Okay. All right. Now there's a way to think about this in terms of x, y, and z components, right? Okay. I'm not going to try and prove the law of cosines to you, since I don't want to spend my time, you know, teaching a trig class. So, just accept it on faith or go look it up. All right. But it's true, and you can get your protractor and ruler and check it to whatever accuracy you're capable of, right? Of your equipment. All right. Okay. So I want to think about this picture now in terms of vector addition. Okay. So I'm going to have vector A, and it's going to have some magnitude. I'm going to have, you know, this angle theta between them. I'm going to have, you know, vector B. Right? So there's an arrow over these. So now A, B, and C don't have to be numbers. They could stand for vectors. Right? The arrow over the tells you whether it's a number or a vector. Okay. Now, a little issue here. What is that, right? Describe this arrow in terms of A and B. Right. What's the third arrow? It's not A plus B. Right.
C.
Well, I can call it C. Sure. But I want to describe it in terms of A and B. How is C related to A and B?
Is it log cosine?
Let me help you out here. Remember how vector addition works. You have to follow two vectors. Like you go here, then here, in order, right? But these arrows aren't pointing the right way. Make a reverse arrow, like this. Okay? Negative A. So go negative A, then B. Okay? That, so C here, as I've drawn it, is B minus A. Because you do negative 1 times A plus B. That gives you C. Right? Yeah. You have to be careful of these triangles. When you're doing vector triangles, you have to be very careful. Which way do the arrows point? Are you adding or subtracting? It's easy to get mixed up. All right. Now, I can take these lengths now. Of these three sides, and I could plug them into the law of cosines. Right. This is going to be a big computation here. Okay, so I'm going to bring this board back up. Oh, okay, that's the one that works. Yeah. Okay, if anybody didn't get the email with the link, if you didn't get it, check your dusty email. And if you still didn't get it, send me an email from your dusty email to make sure that I have your dusty email so I can send you the link. If you do find the website, you'll see that, yeah, it's there. Okay. Okay, now I got to erase. About it in terms of components, right? To save on the writing, let me do the details of this little explanation in 2D first, right? And then I'll tell you how it works the same in 3D. Let's say it has x components and y components, right? And actually, let's just go ahead and square them, right? Forget about the square roots. And now this one. You gotta be careful here, right? We're subtracting components, right? All right. So we're gonna Remember, we add the vectors component by component. So this will just be, like, the x component will be negative 1 times ax plus bx, which is the same as bx minus ax. Okay? So it'll be this. And notice that when you square things, it doesn't matter whether it's b minus a or a minus b, because that would be a sign change inside the square. So this is the same as a minus b, right? Squared.
So it doesn't really matter the order that you input the vector.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And remember, I could have drawn, you know, this. Right? I could have drawn c going the opposite way. Yeah. Well, negative c there. See.
But it's technically the same thing.
Well, they're different vectors, but they have the same magnitude, right? Okay. Okay. Now, if we expand the squares here, we're going to get bx squared minus 2bxax plus ax squared. And then we expand the square of this one, okay, plus by squared minus 2byay, and then plus ay squared. And you'll observe that there's a bunch of things that match. The a squared, the a component squares are right there, and then we have the b squared components. Okay, so we can bring these together. And what do we get? So if we collect these things now, we have, I'm going to write it like this, a squared, right? Magnitude of a squared from those squared components. Then we have the magnitude of b squared from the b squared components. And then we have minus 2 times what? Times ax, bx, right? Order of multiplication of numbers doesn't matter. Plus ay, by. Okay. Now, what does the law of cosines say? Okay. Law of cosines, we apply it to this triangle. It says that the c squared, right, that's going to be this length here, that would be magnitude b minus a squared, must equal magnitude of a squared, right? That corresponds to this, magnitude of b squared, minus 2 times the magnitude of a times the magnitude of b, right? Lengths of these legs of the triangle, times cosine the angle theta. Okay, this is awesome. Because this tells us, given the components of two vectors, how to actually compute the angle between them. Okay? See, these terms match. And then look at these terms. Right? This and this are both... forgot the square there, I'm sorry. A little rebuking red here. There we go. Right. Sorry about that. Right. But both of these are the squared magnitude of vector b minus a. Okay. Okay. So these things are the same. Okay, so you could subtract these terms off, and so these things have to equal the
divide both sides by negative 2, what you get left is this thing. So the conclusion is that the angle theta, and now remember this angle theta is between 0 and 180 degrees. Right? High radians. And the by definition, the arc cosine function always solves, always given an input number, it gives you an angle with that, with a cosine equal to that number, and always picks an angle between 0 and 180 degrees. Okay. So, conclusion is that theta is equal to the arc cosine. Okay. Just since these things are equal, we can solve for theta. And it's equal to the arc cosine. It looks like cosine to the minus 1 on your calculator. But it's an inverse function, partial inverse function, not a reciprocal. It's going to be ax bx plus ay by over the magnitude of a, which I'll go ahead and write that out with the square root to be extra clear about what's going on. And the magnitude of B, okay? That's a...
It's not supposed to be a plus.
Okay? So you multiply the X components, multiply the Y components, add them together, divide by the by the product of the magnitudes of the vectors, right? Now, we abbreviate the numerator as something called the dot product, okay? Dot product. The dot product is just this numerator. Multiply the corresponding components and then add those products together. So that's the first instance of the dot product. Now, you might also observe that the dot product actually gives lengths too, right? If you take A dot A, you'll get AX AX. Right? Let me write what I'm saying. Right? The magnitude is the square root of AX squared plus AY squared, so you can write that as AX times AX plus AY times AY. And so abbreviate that as just the square root of the vector's dot product with itself. Okay. So with these dot products, we've got a great tool. We can use them for both lengths and angles.
So you were multiplying AX and AX and then plus AY times AY?
Yeah. Okay. Now, of course, remember your order of operations. You do the multiplications, then you add them. Okay. And everything works the same in 3D. Okay? Okay. You just have to add some Z terms.
Okay. Any questions about that?
To get to arc cosine, you just subtracted and, you know.
I know that, right, these two things here, right, this big long expression equals this big long expression, right? Because they're both the squared magnitude of B minus A, right? So it's a, I skipped all the algebra of that because you only need to see this once, right? You know, this is an explanation of why the angle is this, right? You don't need to reproduce that every time. You can just use the conclusion, right? Yeah. Just like you don't need to prove the law of cosines every time. You just use it. Right? Now, if you're going to be a teacher, maybe you want to know why the law of cosines is true, right? So remember what you learned in trig class. I hope they taught you why it's true. If they didn't, you know, come to my office and I can prove it for you. Right? Okay.
Okay. So I got this one erased the middle board now.
So that's one thing to keep in mind is that as a mathematician, you know, I don't just use this stuff. My first love is the why question. You know, why are all these things true? So in this class, there's always going to be a mix of, on the one hand, okay, here's how you do this. Now, on the other hand, I'll say stuff like, this is why such and such worked. So this is why such and such is true. So when I write stuff, it you know, if I fill a board, not necessarily all of it is the kind of stuff you're going to do on your homework. Some of it could be a lot of why stuff, right? Okay, so let's, so let me just briefly say, how's it work in 3D? In 3D, it's really the same thing. You just add a Z term, right? This is why I did the big long, you know, proof down there of the connection between dot product and angle and dot product and length without the Z term, because it would be the same kind of computations, same algebra, but with, you know, 150% as much writing, right? But it wouldn't give you any new insights. Same thing, but longer. Okay, so this is how you define the dot product. And if you throw in Z terms and redo all this stuff, you're going to get the same results, right? So again, if you have, you know, vectors A and B, there's an angle theta between them, right? That angle theta is, again, the arc cosine of the dot product divided by the product of the magnitudes. Okay? And likewise, if you take a vector's dot product with itself, you would just get, say, a dot a would be ax squared plus ay squared plus az squared. So you also have that magnitudes are computed by square roots of self dot products. So it's just like in 3D, right? We have the same arc cosine formula, right? Just this part, right? And then this part. Maybe a little color annotation here would help. So, right? So we have this formula, right? If you express it in terms of dot products, you get exactly the same formulas. You just have to know from context, are we talking about 2D dot products or 3D dot products? Are we talking about 2D magnitudes or 3D magnitudes? Right? But those formulas are the same. And you could even go further, right? You could talk about 10-dimensional vectors, and you could take this as your definition of angles between 10-dimensional vectors. And that's what people do. If you have a large data set, say, and you want to, you know, fit a line to it or something, right? You actually have to think about angles between high dimensional vectors, where the dimension is the number of data points you're trying to fit a line to, right? So this is actually a very useful concept because it's obvious how to generalize the dot products and magnitudes, right, to higher dimensions. If there was a fourth dimension called W, you would just add AW, BW here, right? You keep going for however many dimensions you have. Okay. So these are fundamental, and you can have related formulas, right? I mean, here this is like, given the dot products, you find the lengths and the angles. But you could do it backwards, right? You could solve these formulas for the dot products so that given some lengths and angles, you figure out the dot product, right? Okay. So it goes both ways. Okay, so... I think it should be pretty straightforward to, you know, plug in some numbers to these things. So, that's just a symbol, the angle symbol. Okay. All right, so that should just be, you know, plug in the numbers. That should be easy. Okay. And also, can we go backwards, right? So here, this one will make you think a little more. To draw a triangle to figure this one out. Right? You may need to use the law of cosines. Right? Think carefully about this one. Any questions? Yes?
What does the J find in the word?
It's pi over 6. Now, who can tell me what pi over 6 is in degrees? 30 degrees. This is due on February 1st, like yesterday's homework. Okay, any other questions? See you Monday. Oh, yes. Yes, we're here from now on.